Welcome to the Drinking with the Saints podcast with Mike and Alexandra Foley,
where each week we mix a bartender's guide with the lives of the saints to help you celebrate the feasts of the calendar with liturgically correct cocktails.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Drinking with the Saints podcast. I'm Mike Foley.
And I'm Alexandra Foley.
And welcome back, saintly sippers. We took quite a hiatus during the Christmas break, in part to observe the Christmas holidays.
A lot of merriment, a lot of good times,
and in part to recover from a ridiculously lingering flu. You would not have liked the sounds of our voices.
We could hardly stand them at this point.
We're still a little verklempt.
Yarr. Yes. Anyway, hope that all of you have had a beautiful Christmas and have stayed away from all the illnesses.
Exactly. Well, we have a fun and somewhat unusual episode for Drinking with the Saints because it does not involve a cocktail.
Oh, great.
But it does involve alcohol.
All right. Is it a hot toddy? Because I've had a few of those lately.
Indeed. We're going in a different direction. We are honoring the feast of St. Vincent the Deacon, whose feast is January 22nd, and we are honoring him with what I didn't realize, but now have recently learned, is kind of the national drink of Spain.
Interesting.
Which is St. Vincent's home country.
All right. I know nothing about St. Vincent, so I look forward to hearing about him.
All righty.
Never even heard of him.
Okay. Well, you're about to.
Yes. I hear a lot better when I have a drink in my hand, though.
So let us begin. How do we begin?
Stay with us, O Lord.
For it is getting towards evening. Bless our drinks and our conversation. St. Vincent the Deacon.
Pray for us.
All right. So I'm going to cut straight to the chase.
Pray for all deacons.
Pray for all deacons.
Pray for all those discerning the diaconate.
Pray for all of those in Spain.
And all the Vincents.
Wow. Okay. I think we got all our bases covered. So turns out the national drink of Spain is vermouth.
That is surprising. I think of vermouth as being Italian.
That is correct. And the oldest vermouth is from Italy, which is what we are having tonight because I was unable to procure a Spanish vermouth. But apparently, the real vermouths are quite rich in flavor.
Right.
They have all of the five flavors: salty, sweet, bitter, sour, and umami.
Umami.
Which I have no idea what umami is. It sounds
Yo mommy is umami.
What is it?
Umami is it's savory. Mm-hmm. Like fish sauce is like classic umami.
Okay.
But it's savory and kind of like meaty.
Hmm.
And it's supposed to just give a kind of yumminess to food, but like a meaty yumminess, not sweet.
Or savory. Because savory is another one of the five flavors.
But it is in the savory category.
Oh, no, you're right. Salty, sweet, bitter, sour, and umami.
Yeah, so I guess, so there's no savory on your list?
There's no savory on my list.
So this would be savory, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But it also is salty, umami is, and like kind of meaty.
Meaty. Yeah. All right, well, we'll figure it out. So
I'll give you a shot of fish sauce later on.
Hey, thanks. Nothing better than that.
You'll just love it.
All right, so we have apparently the oldest vermouth, which is from Italy, 1786 was the first time it was produced. Antica formula from Giuseppe B. Carpano.
Nicely done.
Thank you. So we are going to have this vermouth over ice.
It's a beautiful bottle. Looks very antiqua.
Garnished with olives and an orange slice.
So olives are salty and they may actually have like a little bit of umami. And then obviously orange is sweet and sour.
Yeah.
But you're saying the vermouth itself is supposed to have all those qualities.
That is correct.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll be the judge of that.
And the Spanish don't like our Martini and Rossi, which they consider too flat and sweet.
I think that's agreeable. I can get behind that.
Yeah. Okay.
Even the Dolan is a little more complex, but
that's true. So I normally do not spend $40 on a bottle of vermouth.
Sweet.
I usually save that for the gin part. But yeah, so we're trying some high-end vermouth tonight.
Don't drop the bottle.
All right, here we go. All right.
That's half the bottle.
Exactly. And my darling Catherine my daughter.
Oldest daughter, Catherine.
Got me fancy olives for Christmas. She knows her father.
Yeah. Three different kinds of olives she got for you.
So we are trying really nice olives. Italian green pitted Cerignola olives in brine.
She bought them at that nice little olive store we have here.
We have
in
an
Waco.
Olive store?
No, she got them at Sam's Club. It would be so great if Waco had this little olive store, but no.
Wow, that would
Sam's
be...
Sam's Club.
All right. Salut.
Salut. St. Vincent.
Pray for us. Mm. Oh, that is good.
It's sweet. I love the aroma of the orange.
Mm-hmm.
Probably our taste buds, you know, and nasal ability is probably not as strong as it usually is since we're just coming off an illness, but it's very flavorful.
It's got a good lingering finish too.
It does. And I get the bitter. Definitely there's bitter and yep. sweet.
Yeah.
I guess you could say a little umami.
Yep.
In the kind of richness.
Yep.
That's, yeah. And then what am I missing? Salty? I'm not getting salty. I am salty.
I'm getting a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. Of the
but
salty.
The olive. Oops, I just dropped my olive.
So this reminds me of the only film character that I know that ordered sweet vermouth.
I was wondering if you were going to bring this up.
Groundhog Day. Rita, sweet vermouth on
the
rocks
with
a
twist. And it's a twist of lemon. Whenever
exactly.
you say a twist, it means lemon, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. She has that about 70 times.
Exactly. And the Bill Murray character pretends to like it, right. but doesn't. Yeah. But this is good. Yeah. This stuff is actually
I love
quite
his
good.
Expression when he drinks it the first time. He's like, oh.
Cool. Exactly. I like to say a prayer for world peace.
You know what this looks like? The way the sun hits the walls at sunset in Rome.
Exactly.
Something like that. You know what this would make this? Only thing that would make this better.
Yeah.
Shot of bourbon.
Ooh, Alexandra, you are an American.
I do like my Manhattans. This would be so good in Manhattan.
One other thing, speaking of the color, is that it is a delightful brown and not like the...
Yeah,
the
reddish.
Red of Martini and Rossi. And apparently that's another good sign of a good vermouth.
Better be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for that money we're
we have a
out.
Great new liquor store in Waco called Firewater.
Mm.
And there are three here. And there's one in Dallas too. I mean, really, if you're in the Dallas, Fort Worth area, definitely seek it out because it's a great store.
Yeah.
The high-end stuff.
The interior looks like it's from a library in Oxford.
Totally.
Wall-to-wall, you know, beautiful built-in wood cases, except instead of books, it's just wall-to-wall liquor.
B-O-O, wait for it, Z-E.
Exactly.
Not K. Yeah, the owner is a woodworker by trade.
Yeah.
He's got an interesting story. Anyway, we recommend them.
All right, so since we're on the subject of vermouth, just a couple of things. Apparently, vermouth is to Spain what a pint is to Ireland.
Okay.
It just is what you do to get together with friends. And instead of a pub, they have vermuterias.
I feel like you're saying that wrong, but whatever.
I probably am. But a vermuteria is a place where you get vermouth. And served
oh,
with...
Oh, that's what you said? Vermuteria?
Vermuteria. Vermouth oh. area.
I heard you say their muteria.
It's like not their muteria. It's our muteria.
it's our nausea. Vermuteria. I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Vermouthery.
A vermouthery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating?
How many different vermouths are there?
Thousands.
Do people drink dry vermouth, which is, of course, not very sweet?
Right.
Do they drink that on the rocks?
I just got all my information from a recent article. It didn't mention that. It did mention, though, that vermouth is usually made from white wine, even when it's a red vermouth, because it's white wine plus absinthe, wormwood, and botanicals. So it's a fortified wine.
That's what it tastes like. It tastes like wormwood, and it tastes like...
Botanicals?
Botanical, spices, yeah. I would say. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And that's what turns it brown.
And it's infused.
Yes, exactly. It's infused.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So apparently it became very popular in Spain in the 1850s when they had that Europe-wide blight upon grapes. Phylloxera. I can't remember the name of the blight. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they decided to fortify wines to make the ones they had last longer. And that's what made, vermouth is older than that, but that's what made it popular in Spain in the 1850s.
Okay. So unlike, like in France, they came up with the cure because they had like their whole white wine year. Yeah. All of the bottles went bad. This is during World War II.
Yeah. So that was, so a so cure in France right. was the south of Spain and the German south occupying army, south of France, correct. German occupying army had drunk all the reds.
Right. So all they had and was white.
So they
white.
Had this huge surplus of whites. Nobody wanted it. They were spoiling because they don't last as long.
Right.
And so it was actually a Catholic priest who came up with the cure.
Which is adding creme de cassis.
Yes.
Which is what? A fortified liquor?
Gosh, I did not come prepared to answer
it's,
that
it's
question.
It's a liqueur. It's a liqueur.
It is a liqueur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, like, I like that, you know, making lemonade from lemons. This instead was taking the wine that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like they lost a lot of their vines or
yes.
to a blight, and they're taking wine that's fine and they're fortifying it just so it'll last longer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seems like, but there's still a reduction in production. Oh, I just rhymed.
Wow. Brilliant.
It's a little slur in there.
So yes, exactly. Okay. And then it became a very standard Spanish way. So common is it that there is a phrase, and again, I'm going to butcher the accent, but to fare un vermouth,
mm-hmm.
to make a vermouth
right.
is literally it's to have a vermouth together, but it really just means in Spanish to get together.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee, even though coffee isn't your intention.
Right.
And you say, hey, let's just fare a vermouth.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, well, they're probably having coffee.
Actually, they're having vermouth before 12 noon. That's one of the things that this American journalist noticed. Like, what are you having? It's kind of brown. I don't know right. what it is. Oh, yeah, it's a vermouth, and it's 11 o'clock.
What's the ABV? Because it doesn't seem strong.
It doesn't seem strong. What do we got here?
Do you need my readers?
I do. It doesn't say. I thought they were supposed to say that on the bottle. They wait, don't. Over here.
Don't spill it.
Don't spill it. I'm spilling. I don't know. Doesn't say. Sorry. It really is good.
All right. This again is called Antica Formula.
Carpano
Antica Formula.
Mm-hmm.
And the ABV is 16.5.
Okay. Well, a wine is 14.
Oh, okay.
A wine is between 12 and 14, so that's not much worse.
And you're having a shot. And
yeah. And the olive and the orange go really well together. It's like a little meal.
My orange is gone. Orange. Yeah. You've only
had one. You should be able to keep track of your orange.
I do. I would have thought an olive and an orange with vermouth is a crazy combination, but it's delicious.
I agree.
Oh, that's the salty.
So, this article also mentioned that this American journalist visits this vermuteria in Madrid, where it's very big. Madrid and Barcelona especially are popular places for vermuteria. Mm-hmm. And she went in and she saw two elderly gentlemen wearing hats, coat, tie, one of them wearing a cane. And she went up to talk to them. And they said, we have sat at this same seat for the last 51 years. One of them was 91 and the other was 92.
Wow.
So I can't make any promises, but it does seem vermouth is really good for your health.
Yeah. I once read an article in the Waco Trib of a similar story, except it was McDonald's. And I have a good feeling they weren't 90 and 91. Will they ever be?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh,
that's amazing.
And the old gentlemen were saying the entire neighborhood has changed so much in 51 years, but this place has not.
Mm.
So you can see this as sort of a connection to their culture.
Mm-hmm. Nice. By the way, just so everyone is not worried, I found my orange.
Oh,
it's at the bottom of the glass.
Goodness. Oh.
Call off the search.
There's so much happiness to be found at the bottom of the glass.
So tell me about St. Vincent the Deacon.
We should probably get to St. Vincent the Deacon. So, January 22nd, Vincent the Deacon, also known as Vincent of Saragossa, Vincent of Huesca, and Vincent Martyr. I think Huesca is where Jose Maria Escriva is from.
Huh, this guy got around.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I like him?
All right, we don't know a lot about him, but we do know that he was martyred around the year AD 304.
Oh, so early.
He was brought before the Roman persecutors along with his bishop, because historically, deacons had a very close association, not with the parish priest, but with the bishop. They were basically the bishop's administrative assistants. So the bishop's brought before this Roman, you know, proconsul or whatever he was, but he had a speech defect, a speech impediment. So he said to Vincent, "You speak for me."
Okay.
So Vincent did, and he was so brash and outspoken in defaming the Romans and affirming Christianity that the bishop got exiled, but Vincent got martyred.
Oh, wow.
So there's a kind of a cautionary tale in this. Like, if you're going to speak up, just be prepared for the consequences.
I think the cautionary tale is if you have a speech impediment, don't ask someone else to do your business. Fix your speech.
Well, he got out okay. Maybe he got exiled to, you know, a nice place like Italy. I don't know.
Still got exiled.
Yeah, so he was martyred.
Wow.
And
do we know how?
He was sentenced to torture and death.
Oh.
His body was protected by ravens until it could be properly buried by Christians. And then a shrine was built over his burial site, and the shrine remained protected by ravens. So much so that even 1,000 years later, when the Moors ruled Spain, they referred to that spot as the Church of the Ravens.
Wow.
And then for some reason, his body was transferred to Lisbon. And when the body was transferred, ravens accompanied the body on the ship.
I can only imagine. They're like, "We are so tired of cleaning up after these ravens. Let's transfer them." And they're like, "Joke's on you. We're coming."
Well, I like that the raven gets a second chance because he's given a bad rap in the Noah story,
sure.
Right? It's the dove that comes back.
And
the
Poe.
The raven is ungrateful.
Mm-hmm.
He flies away, doesn't return.
Right, but the dove does better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the raven gets his second chance, man.
Yeah. So what's the Poe poem?
Quoth the raven, "Nevermore."
Yes.
Yeah.
You probably know it by heart.
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah. I know all Gothic poetry by heart.
I remember it from The Simpsons. Yeah. So he gets a bad rap, right? And Poe, too.
Yeah.
So, all right, ravens, you're having your day with
St.
Vincent, the martyr, the deacon.
Exactly. So he is mentioned. We do have an entry for him in Drinking with the Saints. And I do have a raven cocktail for that occasion.
All right.
It's kind of an odd one. It's vodka, rum, blue curacao, and chambord.
That actually sounds really good. I'm going to look at that again.
Okay.
It is. So it's all equal parts except the chambord. So 1/2 ounce vodka, 1/2 ounce rum, 1/2 ounce blue curacao, and then 1/4 ounce of chambord. Don't know why I'm not having that right now.
I'm sorry. I was trying to do something to honor the Spanish and their culture.
That is fine. I will accept that. Do we have all these ingredients for later on in the evening?
No, we'll have to look, Mrs. Foley. I'm sorry.
Get with it. You might be going back to firewater.
Exactly. All right. We don't have a lot about the saint. We don't have a lot about vermouth, but we are happy to be back in the saddle, and we promise to be more faithful in our podcasting schedule. Well, thank you for listening. God bless, and to your health and holiness.
Happy January.
Thank you for joining us. Please get in touch with us via email at podcast@drinkingwiththesaints.com.
Or on our Instagram page at Drinking Saints, and find Drinking with the Saints book series at drinkingwiththesaints.com or wherever fine books are sold.
The Drinking with the Saints podcast is produced by Back Row Media.